There's a new play that tells the story of a family grappling with ties to white supremacy. It features a 17-year-old boy who is radicalized by an alt-right group. The young man's father becomes concerned and calls the grandfather to help, but to fix the sickness under their roof, they must first deal with a family past that they would rather forget. The play is called The Millennium Boy, and joining me now is its co-writer, Ian Bowater. Ian, welcome back.
Hi.
Ian, let me start out by saying, sadly, you have lost your co-author, your co-writer on this.
Uli, I spoke to him a couple of weeks ago just to check the title and show him the promo art. And a week later, whilst he was on work assignment in Stuttgart, he had a heart attack. They induced a coma, but they weren't able to bring him out of it. And sadly, Uli's gone.
Well, I'm very sorry, but talk about this work now, please, and tell us what's behind it, the premise of the show.
We originally started working on it in 2009. We were working on another film together, and in our downtime, we were talking about how, in the light of President Obama's election, suddenly white supremacist groups were being emboldened by it and seemed affronted that that America now have an African-American president. And whilst we were talking about it, we were looking at the nature of white supremacist groups. And I've always been a supporter of the Southern Poverty Law Center. We get their regular intelligence reports. And I was shocked at how much white supremacist activity and even Klan activity was going on in California, because we were living in L.A. at the time, and there is a town called Lancaster, which is actually known as Clancaster in the local parlance because of the sort of people who seem to have settled there. And so we started writing it, and Uli, being German, said one of the things that he hates the most is that when you have a white supremacist group, they always seem to have the trappings of Nazi Germany there. They love the swastika, they love the flags, they love the salute, they love the armband. And Uli was born right at the end of the war, and he would always say to me, you know, it was 12 years. It was 12 years. That was the length of time the Nazis were in charge of Germany. So we started developing a story, and most of the story was set in 2009, and it was about a young lad who had been radicalized by a white supremacist group online and completely dissociated from his father, who was a German emigre who'd lived for 30-odd years in the States and was a musician working in the film industry. And I can't remember. He went on to another project. I left L.A. and moved to North Carolina.
But you did have to rewrite this thing because, you're right in the Obama administration when we see the rise of white supremacy. And now you have a white supremacist sympathizer in the White House.
Uli called me about 2 months ago, and he said, do you still have this? And he sent me a PDF of one version of it. It was, I think we called it Surabaya Johnny then, but which was a completely pretentious title, and, you know, we both hated it in the end. And he said, I think this play's time has come again. And my first thought was, okay, I'll just look at the dialogue and, you know, just even out some of the clunky bits and just try and make it work. And then, as I got into it, I said, we need to update this. Johnny, who is the Millennium Boy, needs to be 17 in 2017, and the activities he's been involved in include him now having gone to Charlottesville and now having been groomed by this character called Werner Block, who is claiming to be a white supremacist with a Nazi history. And so I started working on it, and it was one of those things where I was getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning because I was so into it again, and sort of, and we made these adjustments. And we got a script ready. And I said, let's do a reading because plays like this, you need to hear how it sounds.
Right.
We think we're on the right thing.
Well, let's listen. We've got it. I want to hear a scene from this play. These are actors Tom McCleister and Stephen G. Cooper performing this scene. Tom reads as the grandfather, Sebastian. Stephen is reading as the father, Mikey. And maybe you should set it up for us before we hear it.
He's invited his father, who is somewhat estranged, has been living in Germany, but he's much traveled because he's a famous astronomer. And he's been in Berkeley, and on his way back, he's accepted an invitation, much to Michael's surprise, to come and stay with them for a few days. They now live in Nashville because that's where his music scene work is. And specifically, he's going to ask him to help with Johnny.
So that would be his grandson. This is the father asking his father, would you help me with my son has been radicalized?
Yeah.
Let's listen.
You shouldn't really worry about Johnny. He reminds me of you at that age.
I was not like that.
Youthful rebellion, that's all it is.
I disagree.
He's just trying to be what you are not.
I agree with that.
That's how you were. I don't want to denigrate your politics, but they started off as rebellion. All that Soviet stuff on your bedroom wall, Lenin, Che Guevara, Trotsky, even the DDR flag. I never took you for a Stalinist.
It was for solidarity with our comrades in the East.
It was for an oversimplified worldview.
What do you know about a worldview? You spent all your life looking at the stars.
Touché.
So you could never be accused of being involved. The history of Germany is the history of looking the other way.
And now you're realizing the consequences of looking the other way with Johnny.
With Johnny? Me? Looking the other way?
Can you honestly say you're involved with him? Does he have a home life? You're like roommates who occasionally eat out together. He cannot stand your lefty politics, so he's being different. You should think yourself lucky.
Lucky?
Yes. At least he's got an interest, a job that makes him a bit of money. He's not a loner.
That is not how it is.
That's exactly how it is. He's an American. What is so funny is that it happened to you, of all people. Trotsky's kid has turned out to be a little capitalist.
You have no idea at all. When your head is not in the clouds, it's stuck in the sand. Here, I want to show you something. This is the sort of thing he sells. Look at it.
What is it? Is it gold?
It's a lapel pin from the 30s. Yes, it's gold.
He must be doing well. This is not junk.
Take a closer look.
I'm looking.
Don't you see it?
It's very old and worn.
Look closer at the head of the pin. See it now?
Oh, yes, it's a swastika. I would never have noticed.
Johnny is trading in Nazi memorabilia.
Actors Tom McCleister and Stephen G. Cooper performing a scene from the play The Millennium Boy. Stage reading of the play takes place next Monday, December 11th at The Bar in Durham, and I'm talking to co-writer Ian Bowater. So one of the things this play does is sort of demonstrate the impact not only socially on these tears in the fabric when we see white supremacy on the rise, but also what the impact it'll have on families, right?
Yes, and you can see there's a theme running through the play is that father is like son and father is like son, although they have different outcomes. And I think that often that happens in families. And I think in this case, one of the things that happens to Johnny, his mother died suddenly like 5 years ago. His father never seems to have got over that. His father's bedroom is still a shrine to his dead wife. And he's also attracted to a young black singer he is working with, which is another affront to Johnny. And Johnny is an intelligent young man, and he can speak up for himself, and he can find the crack in his father's armor in exactly the same way that Michael finds a crack in Sebastian's armor. And it's only when this is the first time you get a reveal of what is the real problem that they've got to deal with. They then go upstairs and look at Johnny's room, which is plastered with swastikas and Nazi memorabilia, and actually includes a picture of Hitler and a picture of his grandfather in the same place.
Which is another part of the reveal, that we all have these complicated stories. How can we tell this story these days, Ian? One man's terrorist or one person's terrorist is another person's freedom fighter. Nobody is an extremist, right? Everybody is reflecting a cultural set of truth that must be defended at all costs. Can we even have this conversation?
Well, it's very interesting because there's been a number of things that have gone on in the media right now, and particularly in Europe as well, where the alt-right and white supremacists are not referring to Nazis in the same way. And they say they're not racists. They say they're identificarians. And this is a label that was invented by an Austrian white supremacist who is in the mainstream. He is nicely suited, attractive-looking man, works very well on TV, doesn't seem like he is, you know, a monster of any sort. And that's what Werner Bloch has decided they need here. They need somebody with a heritage, but somebody who is going to be looking towards the 21st century and beyond. So, and he calls him the Millennium Boy. He was actually conceived on Millennium Eve, Johnny. And there is a play on that. And also, you know, along the way, there's a little bit of humor in this play, because you can't just have this sort of like dour thing of doing it. And when Bloch is exposed in the end, you find out he's not German, he hasn't got Aryan blood, and he's somebody who is just a poser, the very thing that Johnny thinks his father is, being a poser on the left. And I think that that's how you talk about it these days. You find the little chinks in the armor.
Ian Bowater is a playwright who co-wrote the play The Millennium Boy. A staged reading takes place next Monday, December 11th at The Bar in Durham. Ian, always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Frank.
You can find links at our website, stateofthings.org. Our program is produced by Anita Rao, Charlie Sheldon Ormond, Laura Pelliser, and Jennifer Brookland. Robin Copley is our technical director. North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.